Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies the same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. Behind the Black has lots of positive news, but we begin with a special attention to a mission called FRAM-2. That's right, FRAM-2. Bob, what is it? I don't think we've ever talked about such a thing.
Oh, we have. Of course we have, John. This is the commercial private person mission flown on Dragon's resilience capsule into a polar orbit.
Ah, the polar orbit. I didn't get the
name
at the time.
Yes, and it's named FRAM-2 in honor of Fram, the ship that Nansen sailed through the Arctic regions near the end of the 19th century. So it's called FRAM-2. Well, this mission was launched late Sunday, early this week, March 30th. It was up for about 5 days, and today it splashed down safely in the Pacific off the coast of California, and the astronauts are back on the private citizens are back on the ground, having completed about 4 days in space. There was an interesting mission. What we know happened is, for one, they had the first day, they all had space sickness issues, nausea, vomiting. This is not unusual. There were no experienced astronauts on board. They were all rookies. So it probably made it a little harder because there was nobody there to kind of guide them. But they managed. And then they opened up their nose cones so the cupola with these big windows, they could look down at the Arctic and the North Pole, take pictures, videos. And they were supposedly doing science, but this is really, you know, tourists. They're getting to go to space. And they did this for 4 days, and then they came back very safely. But to me, the significance of this mission is how SpaceX is making the government irrelevant to space exploration, completely irrelevant. This was SpaceX's sixth privately funded manned mission. Six. That's more than the whole Mercury program the government did in the 60s. Three of docked ISS was paid for by the space station company Axiom. Three flew independent, two paid by Gerard Isaacman, future NASA administrator, we hope, and one by Chun Wang, which is what landed today. And Axiom has another ISS mission scheduled in May using a new SpaceX capsule, which would bring that company's manned fleet of spacecraft to five, a fleet by a private company. So once again, government is becoming irrelevant to space exploration because SpaceX is actually making now a profit by doing it. You make a profit. There's nothing to stop you. You can keep going because you've come out ahead every time you fly. It's hard to believe, John.
Remember the days, Bob, when the idea of suborbital was a tourist attraction? Good heavens.
Yeah, I don't even pay attention to the suborbital flights much anymore because they're so old hat. Suborbital flights would have been a big deal if Richard Branson had gotten them off the ground in the early aughts as he promised, well before the orbital flights were possible. But now we have orbital space missions privately funded that are going off on a regular basis, making money. And so this is a space, once again, this is great times to live in.
We can project that someday there'll be La Dolce Vita mission to Mars for £3,500 a night. We can imagine that.
It's coming.
Perhaps in the lifetime of our listeners. ULA and Amazon, finally, the Kuiper. Remind me what Kuiper is.
The Kuiper satellite constellation was Amazon's answer to Starlink. It wasn't so much an answer. Both companies proposed their internet constellations at about the same time, about, what was it, 10 years ago, maybe a little more than that. SpaceX's was Starlink, and Amazon's was Kuiper. Well, in the interim, since they first proposed it, SpaceX has gotten thousands of satellites launched, has gotten millions of customers using Starlink, such as John Batchelor, and is making enough revenue from it to pay for its Starship Super Heavy development and its old space program, even if it doesn't get any tourists. What has Amazon done in the same time, even though they proposed at the same moment? They launched two technology test satellites last year. And they have now finally scheduled the first operational launch of the first 27 Kuiper satellites for April 9th, just next week. And it's going to be launched on an Atlas V rocket from ULL. Atlas V is going to be retired, but they have a few left in their manifest, and they want to use them, and they're going to use them for Kuiper launches. So after many years of delay, where SpaceX has gotten the market, controls the market now, Amazon's finally going to move forward. I hope they succeed. They have to get 1,600 satellites up by next year to fulfill their FCC license. So they're going to be pushing hard to launch a lot of satellites in the next year. If they succeed, the question is, will they be able to get customers? And a lot of the customers they might have gotten 10 years ago are now Starlink customers, and they're not going to change so quick. So it's going to be an interesting battle of competition. If competition is good, I'm glad Amazon's succeeding. I just wish they had moved faster.
This is an unhappy story. Starliner. What have you learned, Bob?
Yes, it was this really good, long interview that was conducted by Eric Berger at Ars Technica of the astronauts that flew on Starliner, Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams. And Butch Wilmore was the pilot when they were trying to dock initially with ISS. And it appears that NASA really understated the serious thruster problems on Boeing. While he was trying to dock, he kept losing thrusters, Wilmore, and they reached the point where he thought he not only did not have enough thrusters to dock successfully, he was convinced he did not have enough thrusters to get back to Earth safely, which meant that he and Suni Williams were trapped in a capsule that was going to burn up in the ocean or at least come down uncontrolled in a manner that is dangerous. He knows he thought we could die. They really were possibly within a moment of death. Now, Mission Control was able to reset the thrusters so that most came back online, and the spacecraft was able to dock autonomously. But that situation at that moment basically made Starliner an unreliable lifeboat, completely unreliable lifeboat. Butch William Wilmore said that at that moment he had no doubt in his mind, now once he got into ISS, that he was not coming back on Starliner right from the beginning. Which means that once they docked with ISS in early June of 24, these two astronauts had no lifeboat on ISS. They really had no lifeboat. NASA proceeded to fly a Dragon capsule with only two astronauts in September so that these two astronauts could come back on a Dragon capsule. That was Freedom, the Freedom capsule. But the fact is that for the entire summer, they really had no lifeboat on ISS. And a proper decision by NASA at that point, knowing what we know they knew now, knowing now what they knew then, NASA should have flown that Dragon mission much sooner, as quickly as possible, to get a lifeboat up to the ISS. They could have kept the mission long, as they did, but they should have gotten it up there as quick as possible. But they didn't do it, NASA. Now, a lot of people assume it's because Biden didn't want a bad news before during the election campaign. I actually think that's not true, because a rescue mission would only reflect positively on the president for making a brave decision. Wouldn't have gotten bad press in that sense. But NASA, it was inconvenient for NASA to fly that mission early to do a rescue mission. They had a schedule of missions to ISS. They didn't want to do the extra work. They were basically being lazy bureaucrats. The easiest thing to do is just maintain the schedule they've got, and we'll just live with it. And the risk of a catastrophe at ISS is low, so we'll take the chance. This is really looks bad on NASA. It really, really looks bad. And I'm really upset at that, because I actually trusted NASA's announcements about Starliner back last year. You might remember, John, I thought, oh, yeah, they can use Starliner. In fact, I thought there was a really good chance they could bring the astronauts back in Starliner. I was tending to favor Boeing's position. But it turns out that, no, they were lying to us. And they were lying to me, and they made me report improperly. And I'm not going to be fooled by NASA again on this, John.
We go to the ESA, which is, you'd have to say the scales have fallen from its eyes. What does it see, Bob?
They have been switching to capitalism very aggressively. And it was revealed that when they announced a contract last year for two different companies to build privately built cargo capsules to supply space stations, they did not require those companies to hire subcontractors from every partner in the European Union, the European Space Agency. The way it works in the past is anything you were building, you had to hire people from every nation within the partnership, proportional to how much they contributed to the partnership, which, of course, made every project very expensive, over budgets, delayed, and so many times didn't work. They're not forcing that anymore. They're telling the private companies that are bidding on these, you're building the capsules as you wish, and you hire who you think you need, and it doesn't matter what countries they come from. This just means Europe is going in the right direction, John. I want to make sure we get, though, to another story, because you've kind of skipped it in our schedule.
I have a way of connecting these dots.
Okay, go ahead.
Commercial space is the future. NASA was there at the beginning for SpaceX, but also competed with it by continuing the SLS program. The ESA now recognizes what you talked many years ago, Bob, commercial space, many private enterprises competing. Jared Isaacman understands that because he is a product of commercial space. Now, Bob, now.
Okay, well, yes, remember, Jared Isaacman was one of the paid for two of those commercial flights that SpaceX is making money on. He was nominated by Trump to be NASA's next administrator, and I've expressed on your show and on Behind the Black worries that I think there was some issues with his nomination because his hearings and his confirmation vote was very seriously delayed, unlike all the other Trump nominees. Well, it turns out now that NASA, the Senate has finally scheduled his hearings for April 9th, next week. They're going to do the confirmation hearings, and those should go pretty quick, actually. It appears that he started one-to-one meetings, private meetings with senators last week, and it appears that he might have eased some of the concerns of some of those senators, which made it possible for the Senate committee to schedule these hearings. I think that's what's going on. Either way, his nomination appears now, I think, more positive, and I think my concerns were wrong, and that's a good thing. I think, or at least my concerns were valid, but they have been eased within the political world.
Just a moment, Bob. What did Jared Isaacman accomplish? We need to review so to make sure everybody understands who we're talking about.
All right, he's a billionaire. He has lots of businesses. He's a jet pilot. He had been a contributor to Democratic causes in the past, which I think is where the concerns were coming from Republicans. But he also paid for two different flights to ISS. The second, he did a spacewalk, the first private spacewalk. That was part of a three-mission private space program he was going to finance. The first mission was the one that did the spacewalk. It was his second mission. The second two missions, the third, the next one, he was hoping to do a Hubble repair mission, and the final one, he was going to fly on Starship. Now, he's now postponed the later part of his manned program. As NASA administrator, there'd be a conflict of interest. He's going to be too busy being in Washington running this thing. But he's a private entrepreneur who wanted to fly in space, and he didn't just simply do it as a tourist. He set it up as his own private space program to do exploration and accomplishment in space. And I think that's the future, and it's really cool.
A Chinese spy. Where, Bob?
Yes, we reported on this previously. A Chinese man was stopped while he flew a drone illegally over Vandenberg in California, the space base, launch facility. When he was caught, he was trying to hide the drone in his jacket. They caught it, took it from him, but they let him and another guy go. They later arrested this guy. His name is Yin Piao Zhao. They arrested him at the airport as he was trying to flee the country to go back to China. The other guy got away. We don't know where he is or what happened to him, which is really questionable. Why did we let that happen? Well, he's now been sentenced in Los Angeles to 4 months in prison with a year of supervised release. He is a Chinese citizen who has legal status in the U.S. From my perspective, he's a spy. he should be deported as soon as he completes his sentence. But it looks like it's not going to be the case. He's going to probably be held in prison for just a short time because he's already been in jail for 4 months. So they'll likely release him for time served. But they're going to allow him to get off into the country. And this is just a disgrace. He should be deported. This guy's a spy. Even he was being coerced into doing this by the Chinese government, that other guy. Remember? The Chinese do this a lot for Chinese citizens who live here in the United States. If they have any relatives at home, the Chinese threaten them. You do our work or we're going to do harm to your family. That might be the case with this guy, but it doesn't matter. He's not a reliable person in the States, and he's not really an American citizen. He should go.
Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.